Let's continue reading in 2 Kings 12 now by reading verses 11 through 21. In this second half of 2 Kings 12, we have the good news and the bad news about the reign of King Jehoash, or Joash of Judah. The good news is that he completed the repairs of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. The bad news is that he took the treasury of the temple, as well as the royal treasury, and gave it to the pagan king of Syria, who attacked Jerusalem. 2 Kings 12, verse 11. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to masons and stonecutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone, to repair the damage of the house of the Lord, and for all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver, trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the trespass offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord. It belonged to the priests. Now Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. So Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that his fathers, Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold found in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Syria. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, or Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and killed Joash in the house of the Millo, which goes down to Silla. And Josachar, the son of Shimeah, and Jehoshabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him. So he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Once again, some background notes. King Joash, or Jehoash of Judah, began his reign as a good king. We've seen that. He organized a very successful program of repairing the temple. We've seen that, and we see its conclusion here in the verses that we've just read. In this successful repairing of the temple, even the items of the temple, in verse 13, that initially hadn't been made, we read in 2 Chronicles 24 that there was enough money left over from the collection that they were able to make these items as well. But unfortunately, at the end of his reign, Joash departed from the Lord. Unfortunately, the end of his reign was not so blessed. Look back at verse 2. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. As long as Jehoiada was around, King Joash did what was right. But when Jehoiada died, Joash turned away from wise counsel. Here we see in verses 17 and 18 that when Hazael of Syria attacked Jerusalem, instead of turning to the Lord and asking for help and deliverance, Joash gave away the temple treasures and the temple treasury, as well as the royal treasury. In the parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, we read of the further downfall of King Joash. Would you turn there? 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I'm reading verses 17 through 22. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the commandment of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Then Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." What a sad story. This was one of the good kings of Judah, Joash. But in the end, he turned away from the Lord. Sad story. We read in verse 20 that King Joash was killed by his servants in a conspiracy. He was buried in Jerusalem, but it was not an honorable burial. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 25 informs us that he was not buried in the tombs of the kings. It was not an honorable burial. Makes you feel like crying when you read an account like this. Great beginning, but Joash turned away in his end days. Well, there's a lot more we could say on the background notes there. But what about doctrinal points or teaching points from these verses? I think we have two doctrinal points here about spirituality. Doctrinal point number one. Spirituality is not determined by spiritual gift or spiritual position. Spirituality is not determined by spiritual gift or spiritual position. Look at verse 15. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Here's what we read about the workmen who repaired the temple during Joash's good years. This is amazing. These are spiritual men. Not many churches or Christian ministries could operate this way. No accounts being kept because everybody dealt faithfully. Suppose we were to put an open basket at the back of this auditorium. The whole bank account of this local church was put into that basket. Now, anytime any one of you who needed any money in reference to ministries of this fellowship, you could just go there and take as much as you want. No records kept, no receipts. Now, that takes spiritual people. Believe me, that takes spiritual people. How many think that that plan would work here? I don't see any hands. What's the matter? Not spiritual people here? Well, I think you get the point. This is some tremendous spirituality that we see here. The plan worked here, and the temple was repaired because here you have spiritual people. And notice now, it was workmen who were spiritual. These men that we're reading of here were not the priests or the Levites or the prophets. These were the carpenters, the masons, the stone cutters. In fact, in the first half of the chapter, we see that the priests were not that faithful in the work, but the builders are. You see the doctrinal point. Spirituality is not determined by spiritual gift or spiritual position. This was true then, it's true today. Some people have the idea that if you're not a spiritual leader, or if you don't have a lot of spiritual gifts, well, you can't be spiritual. That's not biblical at all. That's not taught in the Bible. Any believer can be spiritual. It's a matter of letting the Spirit of God direct our lives. And by the same token, Christians who are spiritual leaders and have lots of spiritual gift are not necessarily spiritual. They can be carnal or worldly. We often observe this. The flocks praying for the spiritual condition of the shepherds. Spirituality is not determined by spiritual gift or spiritual position. You all realize that? You know, this thing of spirituality, you get confused. You want to always distinguish between spirituality and maturity. Those are two different concepts. You could have a very immature Christian, doesn't know much, could be just as spiritual as a mature believer. They should go hand in hand. But you can have a mature believer go carnal. So spirituality is not determined by spiritual gift or spiritual position. Doctrinal point number two. Spirituality is dependent on spiritual accountability. Spirituality is dependent on spiritual accountability. Once again, go back to verse 2. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But we've seen that when Jehoiada died, and Joash was no longer accountable to his spiritual father, he went downhill spiritually. Spiritual accountability is important for spirituality. God has made us to be dependent on one another. And this is certainly true in the spiritual realm. Spirituality is dependent on spiritual accountability. I'm sure you know of spiritual leaders who have turned worldly or fell morally because they were no longer accountable to anyone. And they would be the first to tell you that that was a key to their downfall. They were no longer accountable to anyone. Make sure you're spiritually accountable to other believers. Don't be independent as a Christian. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another." This is spiritual accountability. Make sure you're spiritually accountable to other believers because spirituality is dependent on spiritual accountability. Practical application, or more practical application. How spiritual are we when no one is looking? How spiritual are we when no one is looking? As long as the high priest Jehoiada was looking, King Joash was faithful to the Lord. But when Jehoiada died, and he was not looking, Joash no longer walked with the Lord. How spiritual are we when no one is looking? Remember how it was when, for most of us, when we were kids, as long as Dad and Mom were in the room, what we read, what we watched on TV, was high-quality stuff, right? Maybe I should say what we listened to on the radio when I look at some of us our ages, right? But when Dad and Mom were not around, the standards were lower for some of us. Well, have things changed now that we're Christians and adults? How spiritual are we when no one is looking? What videos or what TV programs do you select when you're alone that you would not have selected if other Christians were around? What books or magazines do you read when you're alone that you would not be reading if other Christians were around, looking over your shoulders? Remember, the Lord is looking over our shoulders. How spiritual are we when no one is looking?